Now, at this time, my eyes are open to how fucked up people can be and the shit that I'm about to get myself into. I know I said I was going to tell you about Theodore, but I have to tell you about a stop I made in Rosedale, Queens, before I even met Theodore. The shit that really showed me what it's like about living in a house with a fucking slumlord or niggas who try to get over on you. Now, the people in this house, I fucked with them. I was living with my Haitians. I found this crib because of my brother. I can't front. He used to live there and he moved out. And the nigga was just putting me on. He know I was going through some fucked up things. Now, I need to get something clear with y'all. I'm just putting y'all on to the last couple of years of my life. I've been on my own since I was 16 years old. Since the time of being 16, I probably lived at my father's house, probably 2.5 years max, maybe 3. So a lot of shit that's happening, it might be out of the fucking timeline, but this is things that you're gonna deal with because my mind is everywhere. Y'all seen this shit in my fucking bio when y'all click the page. I can't think straight sometimes. So I'm in Rosedale, and it was a mutual friend that was renting out his old room. Now I think the price was like, it was some dirt shit, like $400 or some shit. Remember what I told y'all last episode? You don't get cheap prices in New York unless you know the person. It was like $400, $500. It wasn't no more. It wasn't no more. So I'm in the house. I got the room upstairs. It's a small room. It's good enough for me because it's just me. But my girl, she's spending most of her time there also. Fellas, y'all know how it is when you fuck with a bitch. After a while, she's gonna find her way to just have all her shit parked up in your closet and y'all damn near live together. She just goes home occasionally. So that's what we were. And it was cool. Everything was cool. Like, I could tell that house was a little fucked up. They didn't take care of it. But other than that, it was no problems. Now, at this time, I start getting cool with the Haitians because all my life I fucked with Haitians. All of my niggas are Haitian. All of my niggas are damn near Haitian. So I'm not uncomfortable around them. Shit, one of my mans even up ended up pulling up to the crib with my son. So it was like, all right, I'm really cool with y'all. They seen that I was one of the Haitian American niggas by association. You feel me? My son started putting me on about how the crib was going in foreclosure and how any day now the niggas will come and kick us out. Now, when I moved in, I did not know that. So I stopped paying the nigga that I was paying. This nigga gets mad because at the time that the news comes out, he's not working anymore. I was his cash cow. So that little money I was giving him was going into his pockets to supply his habits, whatever the fuck he was doing. So I tell my bro, I'm like, yo, boy, I can't pay no more. Like, the house is going in foreclosure. And you knew that, my nigga. Like, I'm Travis' brother, my nigga. Like, you can't beat me over the head. That's some fucked up shit. Now, if he told me that from jump, all right, cool. I'll take that. You feel me? Like, yo, the house is fucked up. I probably would have threw him a couple of dollars. I'm probably lying because I know me. But I understand why he would try to keep that information away from somebody. I don't knock anybody for what they do because I've done scumbag shit in my life. But you can't do this to a nigga that's close to your mans, bro. Like, I'm his fucking brother. So I pull up to the crib. Me and him, we're standing in front of the crib. And mind you, I'm 5'11", 6 foot maybe. I'm about 240 pounds. I haven't really much changed since that time. I'm lying. I was probably like 220, maybe 210. This nigga is probably like 6'3". At that time, was probably 40 pounds heavier than me, maybe. The nigga goes and sucker punches me. Tries to pull my hoodie over my head like I'm some little nigga who's gonna get duffed out. So I slide up out the hoodie. Stumble down the stairs. I look at the nigga. I laugh. I'm like, I bet. I go to my son's crib. I'm like, yo, boy, I know that's your man's, but I'm gonna clap this nigga, bro. He stepped over the line. I understand you mad because you're not getting no money, but what you're not gonna do as some bitch ass nigga is do some shit like that. Now, everybody who fuck with me know I got a very good heart, man, and it's fucked up at how good my heart is, bro. because my boy Trav got into my head. He told me, if y'all know Trav, y'all don't know Trav, y'all never gonna meet Trav. But just know my son got me, and he's the reason I ain't clapped that nigga. Because if it wasn't for Trav, I would have slapped his bitch head off mad years ago in the middle of fucking Rochdale. But that's a different story. So, now this nigga, he's not coming to the crib no more. After he realized I was going to clap him, he stopped coming to the crib. He started staying at his mom's crib, whatever the case would be, for a little bit. And after a while, Trav brought us together. We talked. And he tried to squash it, but I'm not really jacking it. I don't give a fuck about the nigga no more. After a while, the crib finally gets sold. Some nigga come and buys the crib. And I have to move. This is how I find myself in the Bronx. And this is why it was relevant for me to tell you about my time of living in Rosedale on dealing with fuck niggas and holding information back. So now I'm in Rosedale. Once again, I found a spot that my mans put me onto because he used to live there, so I trusted. I mean, now I'm in the Bronx, my bad. Now, I'm uncomfortable in going to the Bronx because I'm a Queens nigga. Like, that's all I know is Queens. It's funny because all my friends, everybody in Queens call me Harlem because that's where I'm from. That's where I'm born. But I do not jack that shit. I am a Queens nigga. So I'm in the Bronx there. I got my bro with me. He downstairs in a basement apartment that we had to get together for him to move in. That should have been the first sign that shit was wacky. We had to get rid of mold in the basement. We had to paint the walls over. But, you know, that's just minor things because that spot wasn't being used at the time. You know, like, shit happens. You feel me? But we let the shit rock. We cleaned the shit up. It probably took us 2 days to get that shit together. Boom. I'm moving. Shit is sweet when I'm moving. I'm upstairs. I got the nice room. Way better than my shit in Rosedale. The landlord room is right next to mine. This nigga drink, I drink. I smoke, he don't smoke. It's lit. So a few months after that, my guy starts taking trips OT. Now, I'm not thinking nothing of it, but I realize his trips tend to be longer and longer and longer every time he goes out there. So I bring it to my cousin like, yo, bro, what's good with this nigga? Like, this nigga ain't been up there like that. He's like, oh, he probably taking care of family. All right, copy. Now, for y'all who don't know, is just me saying whatever, whatever. Like, I'm not going to tell you the bullshit that, but that's what happened. So, there was this tenant that lived in the house that played landlord. We're going to call him Second Floor. Second Floor, I would give my money to every month, and he would send it to Theodore. Theodore, you can say, is the landlord of the house. This is his house that his parents left him when they died. So, Second Floor was the landlord for about 4 months. During the time of him being landlord, we could say, I would say, yeah, definitely during the time of him being landlord, the ceiling in the kitchen collapsed. So now we got this big ass hole in the kitchen. Mind you, I don't use the kitchen. I don't give a fuck about this shit. You feel me? I just use this shit for the microwave. But my rent, I'm paying for the kitchen. I should be able to cook in there. So we bringing up to the landlord Theodore, and this nigga, being that he's OT so much, he's just saying he's going to call somebody, he's going to handle it. I'm kind of brushing it off because I don't really care. Like, I'm upstairs. I don't really cook in the kitchen because the shit look nasty anyway. And I'm a nigga. One thing I got to understand about men, we don't need a lot. All we really need is a place to lay our head and probably a gaming system or internet, and we're literally fine. So I was good with what I had. I didn't care about the kitchen. I'm still paying this nigga the rent. Now, Second Floor relinquishes his title as landlord. So now I have to send the money OT to Theodore. Now, while we're sending the money, I say 2-3 months after the ceiling collapsing, we start getting letters from Con Edison and from the courthouse. Now, I don't open nobody's mail. There's some fuck people in the world that will open your mail and read your shit to you as if you asked them to. But I don't open nobody's mail, so I'm not paying attention to this shit. But them court notices, them shits is open on the table because this is a big house. It's like 9 people living in this house. It's a huge house. So we seeing that niggas got to go to court. So we bring that shit to Theodore's attention like, yo, bro, what's up with this? nah, that ain't shit, nephew, man. That's just my sister. She just trying to get the crib because, she just... He's talking that sweet shit. You feel me? Like, he's talking in niggas' ears. I can't front. And I'm not pausing nothing because I'm a real-ass nigga. So, it's a day that he has to come to court, and damn near everybody in the house. We pull up to the courthouse because we need to see what's going on for ourselves. We need to know what's up. So, we see his sister. We see him. They sit down with the judge or whatever, and the judge ruled that she has no jurisdiction over the house. Like, she can't do shit. So, boom. Case closed. I paid nigga rent that day. You feel me? Yo, you handled it like a real nigga would, and you kept your word. Bringing up the fucking ceiling, he's still talking. Like, I'm going to call somebody, nephew. Don't worry about it. All right, cool. Bet. So now, he's gone for this time, like, months. And at this time, you know, the sub-basement starts flooding. My cousin lives in the basement. He doesn't live in the sub-basement. There's one more level under him. So under him is flooding. Everything is backing up into his shit. Yo, bro, I'm sorry for putting your shit out, but I'm not saying your name. So we call the landlord, and this nigga calls some plumber. The plumber pulls up, and he pretty much tells us, he's like, yo, bro, that sub-basement is fucked. Nigga, he's like, yo, it's so much water down there that we will have to pump the sub-basement out just for them to go downstairs and fix things properly. So we're like, damn, it's like that? All right, whatever. But he did a minor fix that my cousin was able to have, you know, a working toilet and nothing was backing up. Couple of weeks later, the shit happened again. So now I'm on edge because remember in Rosedale, I was just fucking with this bitch-ass nigga keeping information away. So now I'm on time and I'm calling this nigga. I'm like, yo, what's up? Like, yo, is this house going under? Like, I see you got bills from Con Ed for 10 bands and this, that, and the third. Like, bro, what's going on? He keeps talking that sweet shit. Like, oh, it's nothing, nephew. I'm going to get this shit handled. Yo, man, I got some people. Da-da-da-da. Just talking. I'm not jacking that shit. So coronavirus comes through. Now, like Cardi said, coronavirus. Shit is getting real. Niggas start developing this cough. I'm thinking it's because I smoke. No, sir. When you walked into that house on the first floor, you were getting punched in the nostrils by a mold monster. Gnats were attacking you from the sub-basement because when the plumber came and fixed the pipes, he never closed the door. So we had 1,000 gnats on the first floor. Mind you, this nigga was still pressing me about rent. Every other week, yo, nephew, what's up? Nephew, what's up? I'm giving this nigga $200, $200. I'm not jacking it. Like, I don't want to turn into a fuck nigga. I'm not trying to be the fuck nigga I know I could be. And once again, like I said, I have a very good heart. I don't want to go the route that I had to go. Eventually, I couldn't take this shit no more. I called 311. 311 pulled up to the house within, I'd say, 3 days. All I can say is Theodore is in the process of losing his house. They deemed the house an unconditional living environment. Do you know how bad a house has to be for 311 to deem it unlivable? We had no gas. The ceiling in the kitchen was collapsing. We had buckets of water collecting rain. The sub-basement was flooding. It was 1,000 gnats. Needless to say, I don't have the cough no more, so it must have been the house. Because that shit is fucking crazy. But this is just another part of a journey that I'm taking into finding my own apartment. I'm telling you all this because if you think you're just gonna have an easy ride, it's not easy. Especially now. Shit is fucked up out here. Just be careful. Do your research. Make sure wherever you're going, it's valid. Like, do your fucking research. Check Zillow, check all of that. See if them houses been up on the market lately. Just cover yourself. Cause after 311, I had to take another journey. And this one is totally different. Yo, follow me on Instagram at Bully Talk Podcast. Follow me on Twitter at Podcast Bully. I appreciate every single one of y'all for listening to my bum ass talk about the shit I go through and shit that I feel. This is only the fucking beginning. Are you a part of the Neighborhood Watch Committee?